Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. This is Jackie Cation, your host. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com, AllThingsComedy.com, /TheDorkForest, TheDorkForest.Bandcamp.com. I could go on for days, you guys. Good times are being had. But you can listen to the show on iTunes, of course. You probably have downloaded it from iTunes. On DorkForest.com, you can always listen to the phone bonus, which is Andy and I chitter-chatting back and forth about the episode, just a short 2 to 4 minute kind of thing. And there's always a teaser clip on the YouTube page of Dork Forest Teasers if you want to kind of browse to see what other episodes are available. This episode, let's talk about the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen, and he will sing his lyrics to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com both have a donation button. If you like to donate to things, I like to accept donations. So there you go. If you like the show, throw us some money. If you don't have any money, there's a million other ways to support the show. Very cheap to just tell people about the show. You could tweet at me at JackieCation.com and go, hey, I like the show. You can email me, Jackie at JackieCation.com, and go, hey, I like the show. That's supportive. You can buy things. You can get a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt. You can get a Dork Forest t-shirt designed by Brett Gilbert over in, not Brett Gilbert, Brett Chambers. You can get a Dork Forest t-shirt. You can also get any of my stand-up stuff. You can get CDs or DVDs. Hard copies. All of the CDs are available on iTunes and Amazon. Also free streaming probably on Spotify, for sure on Pandora. And my DVD, you can only get the hard copy at JackieCation.com, but you can get a live streaming download for $10 at ComedyFilmNerds.com on their download page, which there's links all over JackieCation. Other than that, there is Bandcamp has all of the premium episodes of The Dork Forest, which there are probably 10 of, and they're live episodes that cost me a little bit of money to produce, so I pass that non-savings on to you at $2 a pop. And you can listen to those, but there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes that are for free, and I don't know, allthingscomedy.com is the umbrella podcast. Scheduling-wise, I'm in Los Angeles this week for the next couple of weeks, and then I'm doing Fort Worth, Texas. So feel free to check my stand-up schedule on JackieCation.com. I have another podcast on the Nerdist Network where I just talk about stand-up with Lori Kilmartin called The Jackie and Lori Show. So that's all the information you need, probably too much. So let's get into the show. It's time to dork out. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm in my living room here in Van Nuys. I'm in Van Nuys. No one can find my house anymore. Ronnie Karam, welcome to my house. They changed the Google map. They've done something.
Was it easier in the past? Mm-hmm. Because my life is totally screwed in the future.
Well, clearly in the document, I need to put the zip code is what I clearly need to do now. Yesterday I did one and they were like, I'm on a different street that's with your name.
Yeah, I was on the street. I was in a thing. I was like, should I start knocking? Maybe it's just the wrong, but... I mean, I'm kind of an idiot.
Yeah,
it's not really shocking.
That isn't ideal. Hey, do you know Jackie Cation?
Do you know Jackie? Almost asked those garbage guys.
I'll tell you something. I did get recognized the other day in Pasadena by an open micer who waiting for an elevator. And I was talking to my husband. We're going to go see a movie. And the kid goes, are you Jackie Cation? And I said, I am Jackie Cation. And he was like, I'm an open micer and I listen to your podcast. And I was like, well, that's very sweet.
Awesome.
Because you recognize my voice. Anyway, Ronnie,
that's awesome. Yeah, you do have a very distinctive voice. I'm never recognized really from stuff. It's very rare, but it always happens at the perfect time. It's like when I'm out with my mom,
randomly. You go.
You know, it's somewhere good where it matters. Because my mom's like, oh, what?
Were you raised here?
I was raised in El Paso, Texas. I've been out here for about 12 years.
El Paso. That's El Paso. It. Mm-hmm. It's right across the border from the Terribles.
Oh, yes. That's our Hollywood grandma. Hills, like you go around this, you go around the Rio Grande, the freeway kind of goes around this mountain.
Yep.
And you see the hills, but our Hollywood Hills are, you know, the cardboard boxes of what is and stuff and the burning tires.
And it's just Crazyville. It's like something out of District 9, the movie.
Well, most of El Paso looks better than that. But yes. El Paso was a crazy place to grow. I mean, 80% Hispanic. It was an amazing place to grow up. I learned how to fight, how are to
you,
cook.
Can
how to,
you speak Spanish?
Poquito.
Poquito?
Sí. Okay. I know are, really are ignorant
your, are
Spanish.
Are your people Spanish?
Are, no, are my people are from, Lebanese.
You have Lebanese ancestry?
Lebanese and white trash. I
love a fatouche. Who doesn't love a fatouche? A white trash, you're going to fit in everywhere. That's all going to work out for you.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a bit of all. And, you know, Middle Eastern food, we all really come together on that. I mean, the Middle East is at war all the time, but we enjoy the same food. We all claim, like, the rolled grape leaves.
I'm making pilaf right now. So yes. It's because I was told I could eat rice again. So my excitement is obviously not weight. Okay, so it's at Ronnie Karam, so RONNIEKARAM, at Ronnie Karam. You have a podcast called Watch What Crappens, and watchwhatcrappens.com, it's on iTunes and all that stuff. And then you curate another website.
I do. I run a website called Trash Talk TV, and we basically write really rude, snarky recaps of shows.
It's like sitting around in college, just kind of bitching about people's haircuts.
It is. I'm 40 years old. I've been doing that for about, well, Trash Talk TV's been around a few, but I was at a website called TVgasm before that.
TV, did you, the only one I did was TV Without Pity.
It's similar to that.
Day. Yeah. Right? And then they sold it to NBC and it turned into lameness.
Yeah. They're like, don't be mean to people on TV.
Right. We own that network. And you're like, okay, I still do need a recap. Like, I don't want to watch Outlander, but I'll read the recap of it.
Tell me about Outlander, because I watched the first one and I was like, oh, good. It's all this lady. It's just this lady making out in two different time periods with handsome people, right?
And why would I not want to watch that? That's except for thought, that it needed actually to be more than that.
Is that all it is? Because yes. I made it through the first and I was like, I don't know if anything else happens. I need someone to get slapped.
You know what? I wish it was. what I needed was, I think, it not to start out in 1945. I wanted it to start out here and send her back to Scotland, or just go back to 1945. Why start in 1945 and go back again?
I don't know.
Is an author who has clearly feels like she was born out of time twice. Not just once, but twice. And
It's a double period.
I am sympathetic, but not supportive, clearly.
You're one period short of an ellipses, Outlander.
Ronnie Karam, you know too much about Bravo television, you said. And I don't know anything more about... there was the TV show where the gay people told me to dress well. And then I think there's a Top Chef.
Oh my God, you're really reaching.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Yes, that's when Bravo changed from, kind of an A&E. Well, A&E's changed now, too. But they used to be like, let's watch an opera together.
Yes. You know? Bravo.
Yes.
Brava.
And then some queen started working there and was like, let's just, you know, have people yell at each other. Actually, the Queer Eye was their first big breakout thing, which was a crazy show, too.
That was the one I was thinking of, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy or something like that, right? Where they'd take some doof.
Or gay guys would give you terrible advice.
Or better than what you were looking at.
You know, sometimes the food guy, they had one, every gay was assigned a specialty, you know?
Right, everyone had a pattern.
Yes, one was Ted. He was the chef, the little guy with glasses.
Okay. You know? Oh, that's right. Well, doesn't he work on Food Network all over the place
now?
He's
on Chopped, and okay. I swear to you, he still looks as bored as he ever did. I mean, he was just like, oh, well, hello, I'm going to show you how to make a dinner, I guess. You know, here, what do you have in your kitchen?
Do you not know that the knife goes on the right? It'll be fine.
Pretty much, yeah. But he was making foie gras for people, making, you know, $30,000 a year. And they're like, we want to have a dinner party and show off my husband's new tie. Because that's all they would do. They would, like, shave the guy, shave his back, put on a tie, get him a haircut.
That's it. Yeah, well, with men, it is a lot easier to kind of just tighten them up. I'm a little bit like that too. You could just put me in a rock tumbler and it would help a lot. But it's fine. But the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was the only one that I watched, and then there was Top Chef.
Top Chef, yeah. Well, they had Project Runway first. That was their next big.
Oh, which I'm not crafty, so I didn't know. Did you watch Project Runway?
I'm very easily swayed, and so I'm not very crafty either, but now I am. Like, I have glue guns and all different kinds of scissors. I make all sorts of shit, and it started with Project Runway.
Different scissors. You have different sizes.
I do. I have like paper scissors, cardboard scissors. Nice. I use scissors on every. I have kitchen scissors. I'll cut some meat with some scissors. I love a scissor.
Okay. Well, so that is, and you got that addicted. Who was on Project Runway again?
That's Tim Gunn. Oh, don't bore Nina. What a catastrophe. This is a khaki challenge, not a catastrophe challenge. I'm flabbergasted. And Nina and Michael Kors, and they were just, you know, they would sit there and be bitchy. They'd be like, all right, you can make a ball gown out of toilet paper and gum, okay. And you have 20 minutes.
Oh, so it was of course, it was the chopped of...
Yes.
It was the Chopped of clothing.
Oh, my God. You're like talking to a teenager who saw Chopped first, and now you think everything's based on Chopped.
Is everything based on Chopped?
You know that Chopped ripped off everything else. Chopped came first. I have the Food Network.
I've only seen Chopped like a dozen times, too, because I get really tense. I want to just fast forward.
I just feel bad for them. Who wants to eat that shit? They're like, Make this out of cat poop, fingernails, and, you know, yarn.
Okay, so Project Runway did the first thing where they were like, here's things that you wouldn't make a thing out of. Make a thing out of it.
Right. And sometimes usually it's cloth. Okay. No, usually it's fabric. They'll say, okay, you have $100 in the... oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of the store that it used to be. And they would go to the store and there's a segment of running around looking for bolts of fabric. And then they'd go back, but they have like 20 minutes to make something. So of course it always looks like crap. So
right.
It's funny listening to all these snotty people try and say good things, you know?
Right, right. They're like, well, I love what you did with the scotch. A lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
And scotch tape has so much. Yeah. That's so weird because when you just said that they ran around looking for bolts, I was like, well, they have to do that in Top Chef or in one of those other. So that's yeah, so they Top stole Chef everything was, from Project
yeah,
Runway.
Yeah, so Top
who
Chef.
Made, who was the one who made it? Was it Tim Gunn?
Who created the show?
Yeah.
The company Magical Elves does a bunch of reality shows, and they hit it big with Project Runway, and then they made Top Chef after.
Ah.
And then a few years ago, premise. Lifetime bought Project Runway, and they turned it into like a hour and a half, 2 hour long show, and it's. I can't watch it anymore. I don't have time for that.
Right. 2 hours of what? Of people actually getting
like
stuff?
Like losers or? Crying. Because now everybody's done it and you don't necessarily get famous the same way.
Oh, right.
So now they'll just be like, can you use a staple gun? You're cast. Like this guy's a crazy gay person and he can staple things. So let's put him on a show.
That's enough?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. When you said Michael Kors was on Project Runway, I was like, oh, I bought pants by him. He makes pants, doesn't he?
He sure does. And Kors is an outlet queen, too. Like, you can always find that stuff in
the malls.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go and I always think there's going to be pants, but it's always purses.
Well, that's good.
That's just because he makes bags, too, right? He's a bag guy.
He makes it. It's all about branding, okay?
It's all about branding.
If we're going to talk about Bravo today, you have to learn that word,
term,
the branding.
The branding. Well, I know it because I'm a comic, and of course, I should be branded.
Oh, yeah? What's your brand, huh?
I think it's a dork brand. I think it's a dork forest brand. Ronnie Karam, so they're the ground floor. That's the ground floor of everything. Those were actually the best of them, too, the reality shows, the Bravo ones.
Yeah, I think so. Real Housewives really hit a big.
Is that Magical Elves?
Hit it big.
Too?
No, that there are a bunch of different ones.
That's good. That's good because
they're in so many cities. You know,
because the Housewives don't have to run and find something.
Well, no, not really. No,
not love, not anything. They clap their hands and somebody brings them.
They have different segments that they have to do every season. Like one, someone goes and gets their badge waxed. Oh. You know, there's always that.
Did you hear about anal bleaching? Did you know that?
I have heard of anal bleaching recently.
I don't think it's as new as I think it is, but people are whitening up their butthole.
Yeah.
Just because they want to make it pretty for whoever's back there.
Yeah.
I think you've already closed. That's an old joke, but I think everyone's done it. But you've closed the deal if someone's looking at your butthole, right? Like they're in. They're on board. I don't know how someone. I mean, I suppose someone could lose an erection while looking at a butthole.
I guess. I mean, they're pretty gross, I guess. And, you know, I've learned of them from this is so gross. I'm so sorry, but I learned of them just from good old porn, you know. And I started wondering, why are there all these little white butts?
Oh, right, right.
And I asked, you know, you just ask a gay, which I should know, but I didn't.
Are you a gay?
Oh, yes, but okay. I'm a very boring gay. I might as well not even be gay. Like, I talk gay. I'm bitchy like a gay, but I don't care about clothes. I mean, this.
But do you make out with fellas?
Occasionally, I'm too bored to even make out anymore.
When interested?
Yeah.
Would that be your person to make out with of choice?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, they're just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not bi at all.
I don't know anything about
it. Even sexlessly, I'm still gay.
You're still, even sexlessly.
Yes, even with a sexless lifestyle, yes, I'm still pretty gay, unfortunately.
Fair enough, fair con.
You just can't wash it off.
It's a, well, you know, sometimes, and then you've been rubber stamped, and you're like, fuck you.
Yes, there is something to being born with it. I mean, my tongue is too big for my mouth or something, like gay accent.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Guy Branum does a bit about that. And
he does?
Yeah, he can't figure out why, but I think it's a comedy goldmine because it crosses all regions.
Yes.
It crosses, different, like it's not geographic at all.
It's a gay accent that you get. I mean, in my case, my tongue is huge.
You're from Texas.
Yeah.
You're from Texas. Guy Branum has a little bit of the gay accent, as he calls it, you call it. And he's from Northern California. So it's very weird.
Yeah, you can usually tell a gay. I have no gaydar. And also, we live in Los Angeles where everybody's straight, but they all suck penises, don't I mean, let's be honest.
Is that now? I do. But that doesn't make me gay. And though I did have one producer say one time, when are you just going to be lesbian, Jackie? Because you would get so much more work. I had a producer say that to me, and I was like,
lesbians are in. They're killing them on every show, Jackie.
Right. I don't know that that actually gets people work. I think you're under the illusion that you, I don't know why she said that.
Well, they do love hot model women playing lesbians.
Well,
I mean, they get work.
I think that that's just 45-year-old guys sitting in a writer's room going, do you think we could make the two girls kiss? Let's make two girls kiss. Let's just do it. Just sweaty 45-year-old writer dudes just going. I bet you if we said that they had to kiss their actors, they would.
Yep.
And then we'd get to see them kiss.
Yes. So I met a guy who works for a famous gay porn company.
Okay.
And he's the creative director. His name is Ryan. He's a comic, too. But he's the creative force behind Randy Blue. And he tells stories, and they are just hilarious. He's like, girl, if anybody gives me attitude, they're on the bottom. And he starts like, oh, my God. Because that is such a huge industry now.
Weird. That's using your powers not for that. You know what?
For
that,
evil.
That's what comic, you know, bookers do that. They're like, I'm going to make him go first. I'm going to make him go first. He'll take the bullet. And
yes, that's your all's version of bottoming.
That's our version of bottoming. Except for that, I suppose if you're I don't know. Okay, whatever.
What about the nipple clamps?
what about googly eyes on the nipples? Whoever wants to, my eyes are down here. I wrote that joke. That I'm sure that joke has been written 7,000 times. But here's what I want to know. So Project Runway sort of initiates it in the way of, because before that there was what, because Bravo does Real Housewives as well?
Yes.
Okay, there's a new one coming out, right? In Beverly Hills again, or?
Well, Beverly Hills just finished up their sixth.
Okay, there's a woman I went to high school with who's in the new season.
Who?
I don't know. I don't remember her name, but it's she went to South Milwaukee High School in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's Catherine.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me all about Catherine. How do you know anything about her?
Did she was on this last season.
Oh, was she?
And she's the only one who kind of, you know, has that accent going on. It's really not that thick.
Oh, cripes.
But
does she have
her.
Kind of a Midwestern accent?
A little bit. She tried to lose it, but like she'll get it on words, you know, words.
She married a lot of NBA guys. Is
yes.
that her?
Okay. Yeah, she could coach a team. She's only on her second, but she likes young, hot football players.
Who doesn't? Football or basketball?
Young, hot, rich football players.
Well, I suppose I can't blame that.
Yeah. Well, she came on because they tried to do some weird crossover thing this year on Beverly Hills with OJ people because that OJ thing came out, but that wasn't NBC owned. So I don't know why.
What they were thinking.
I don't know what they were doing, but they have Faye Resnick as one of the minor characters. She's a friend of somebody and she comes on and causes trouble. And then this Catherine was married to Marcus Allen, who was involved in the OJ case. He used to be one of OJ's best friends.
Oh, okay.
And so they were like, okay, well, this lady's, you know, a rich idiot who
is
has a connection
Kathleen
to OJ.
French?
No.
No.
Her name is Catherine.
Is that
you know, I'm so embarrassed that I don't even know her last name.
Well, it's an outrage.
Catherine.
You're ruined. Socially.
Oh no, that's one of the creators.
That must be a previous season or something.
No, it's just the creators of the show. They're listening, not the cast. She's one
weird.
Of the cast members.
Okay. Oh, I looked up the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'll put Real Housewives Catherine. Oh, I just love the internets.
That's my new toy. My
it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Look at the case. Close the case real quick, and you can see.
It looks leather, like, little book.
It looks like I'm carrying a book instead of one of the monsters who looks at their phone all the time. It turns out I'm a monster who looks at
I'm reading,
phone.
Okay, guys? I'm not being rude. I'm, like, into literature right now.
That's my tiny Bible.
Catherine Edwards is her name.
Catherine Edwards.
Born and raised in Wisconsin with her brother and dot, dot, dot.
And dot, dot, dot. Okay, good. Well, Catherine Edwards.
So, yeah, she came on for the OJ
Rockets.
Thing.
And South Milwaukee
yeah,
Rockets.
There you go. She came on for the OJ stuff, but then they pushed her into this big fight with Faye. And they were like, don't you know Faye? Don't you know Faye? She wrote something about you in her book. But then Catherine's like really stupid. And so she never read the book. So she was like, oh, Faye, why'd you say I met you? I've never met you. She's like, I didn't say that. I don't know where you heard that. Yeah. It's like, well, it was in your book. Did you read the book? No. Like, you can't even read the book. You know, you're about to fight with this bitch at a party. You can't go on Kindle and read the paragraph about you.
You, I bet you, if you had yourself on Google Alert, it would have even come up. That's crazyville. That is, that sounds exactly like if I had been forced into a fight with somebody where someone was like, because I always forget that people don't like me. Like, if someone doesn't like me, I always forget, and I'm always like, hey, how's it going, Sue? And then they get to be mean to me again. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's right, that woman doesn't like me.
I get to remember every day.
Every 6 months. And then some people I forget that they don't like me because I've forgotten them entirely. Oh. And I reintroduce myself, and then they have another reason not to like me, which is that I've fucking forgotten them entirely.
You know, I just, in my mind, I just pretend people like me and just move on with my day.
Well, you don't like me, I guess I don't have any room for, I mean, I have enough problem liking myself, for God's sake.
Oh, I hate my own guts.
Right. Like, I have a committee meeting constantly going on in my own brain box. I don't need to include you in it.
Yeah, my inner mind is like, you fat idiot.
Don't,
like, everything.
Don't even say
I've,
that loud.
I've been, yeah. I mean, I'm anti, but for so long I fought it. And was like trying. I just cleared almost 50 self-help books off my Kindle. Like, I even went into Amazon to erase them from the back end so I couldn't see them because I thought, if I die, someone's going to open this and see how fucking crazy I am. Like, this is, and I actually read them all. And then I realized,
well, that's good.
I can't change myself. I mean, I can change little things and be better, but
the
stuff
journey
like that
continues.
Just,
progress, yeah, not perfection, Ronnie Karam. Progress, not
amen,
perfection.
Amen, sister. Yes, no, I don't care.
So, yeah, exactly. You just plug it along.
Mm-hmm.
Try, you know what? I think globally, but try to act locally. Like, I'm just
there
me
you
and
go.
You. Just me and you.
That's
I
all that matters.
Really, can't really... I'm not going to be able to fix everything right now.
No.
So just going to be making sure.
I can't
sure
fix anything.
You got a nice cup of coffee and it's all working out.
Yeah, that's okay. All I need.
Yeah, that's
I can I literally need. Fix nothing. But I used to sit here thinking, I can't even fix my sink. We're a loser. Like, that's what I would be thinking right
and
now.
And what is... And to get back to Bravo, because...
Speaking of self-hatred, let's talk about Bravo some
let's
more.
Let's talk about Bravo and the fact that there is something addictive about watching people in a tizzy. And that's
yes.
What Bravo is. Bravo is entirely people just kind of wandering around like a chicken without their head cut off, right?
It has become that. The first Housewives shows weren't that. They were, you know, oh, hey, how you doing? Like, there's a Midwestern chick who lives in Orange County.
Yeah.
And I watched it kind of on accident because I have a TV site. So people were just loving these Housewives shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm above it. I will not even watch it, you know. But there was a marathon on one day. I was like sitting around.
Oh, and then you're in.
Nothing happened. Like the first season of Orange County, literally nothing happens. She's like, oh, I get car washes every day. That's what you do in Orange County. You wash your car. And somehow it's fascinating. Just watching idiots do nothing is really
well,
good.
Remember that TV show? This is also 1,000 years old where, the guy with the accent would go through famous people's houses.
Robin Leach! Welcome to the lifestyles of the rich and famous. I'm Robin Leach.
Jesus, Ronnie, you're killing my ears.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't hear me that loudly. Sorry.
It's no, but I love that
like
you break
life.
Into the accents. That's the funniest. That's got to be the funnest part.
Well, that's the most fun part of what we do. We just make fun of the shows.
Right, because you're just sitting in the background. So, Robin Leach used to go look at what famous people, how they lived, but we didn't get to meet them.
Hot tub in the kitchen. Like, whoa.
Right. And then I think so Real Housewives must have been the next step.
Yeah, it was one of those where they were like, look how rich people live. But these people in Orange County, you know, They have a couple of legit loaded ones, but most of them really aren't rich. I mean,
well, it's weird. I just did a show in Malibu, and all of the comics who went before me were like, you guys are the 1%. You guys are the 1%. And I got up and I was like, no, you guys are the 5%. You're doing fine. But yeah. The 1% don't go to comedy clubs. We're brought to them on the backs of elephants.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's no reason for the 1% to go anywhere. We're brought to them. They're carried off into the distance.
I'll believe that they're the 1% when they get cell towers in their neighborhood that work. Okay. You can't tell me you're worth $1 billion, but you can't use your cell phone in your house. I'm not buying it.
Oh, that's weird. Do they not work in Malibu?
They don't work in the hills. They don't work in the Malibu hills.
Oh, interesting.
It's crazy. It's like they think they're so rich, but they can't even talk on their damn phone, you know?
That's it. It's all hardwired, or maybe they have a special. Maybe there's a special code that you got to use.
Oh, maybe special rich people T-Mobile code.
Yeah, the T-Mobile code. Let me tell you the password. Oligarchy, all one word, lowercase. Anyway, so
actually, I love that we made the rich one T-Mobile. It's like the poor people.
They all have go phones. Yeah. They all have burners.
Verizon, darling.
I love that. So where is it now? What is on Bravo now? That's great.
Well, Beverly Hills just finished, and just to give you an example of how stupid these shows have gotten,
the entire
thing, this woman, Yolanda Foster, had the chronic Lyme disease, because she was always tired, which we were talking about earlier. She had this.
People get tired, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm always tired.
It's got to be gluten.
I unfortunately have Little Caesars in my blood, not Lyme disease. But she kind of had it, but she's kind of a compulsive liar and an idiot.
Well, you can't kind of have Lyme disease. You have to have been bitten by a tick, right?
Well, that's Lyme disease, but then they have chronic Lyme, which now is like this umbrella for all these other diseases. Like, basically, rich white ladies are like, I'm tired and no one can tell me why. I've already taken Adderall. And they're like, oh, chronic Lyme. Okay, now we can give you all these treatments. So she flies all over the world. You see her in like big metal containers, like being frozen, you know, which turns out to be for fat removal.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. But
so that was their storyline. And then everybody knows she's faking.
Wait, can they freeze fat off now?
Yeah, they freeze it off. But only a little at a time.
Well, that really probably makes sense, because if they froze off all of the fat.
It's weird how it happens, because they freeze it. I mean, I just know from these shows. Yeah. Obviously, I've never done it.
But right. Yeah. We're just walking around, you guys. Anyway, so how does it
I have completely room temperature fat, for anyone who can't see me. But
room temperature fat. If I named the shows, that would be what I would call it. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, that's what they freeze it. And then supposedly it melts and then goes into your bloodstream or something. I'm not sure how that works, but I don't know how people aren't just dying of heart attacks. Like,
Right. It melts and goes into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And then your blood has to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure your blood is like an assistant going, are you shitting me? Why is there 9,000 piles of work right now? And I added to my, I don't want to lose weight that way.
Yes.
I was, you know, whenever there's a new thing. I'm always like, well, maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be the one. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm always like liposuction. I was like, well, what do they do with it? It turns out they throw it into the ocean. Did you know that? There was some study where there was like 10,000 pounds of fat got dumped into the bay or the ocean or something.
God.
And you're like, well, someone please leave the whales alone. Please leave the fish. They've got enough problems.
I feel like that's better than most of the shit that we put in the ocean, isn't it?
Oh, my God,
it?
That plastic, that island of plastic.
Yes, the island of plastic are those little things, those rings that hold the Cokes together
That we cut and it still doesn't matter because they all get tangled up anyway.
Yes.
And then fish have to...
We feel good people for cutting a damn Coke
ring. Right, I don't know.
Ring.
I don't know how to fix... If I had a gajillion dollars, I don't know if I would... I want to set up like an oil rig, kind of like one of those oil rig things right next to it. And then hire people to work 24 hours a day for 2 weeks on and then 2 weeks off. And then spend my entire fortune just pulling that thing out of the ocean.
What thing? The rings?
You know how there's like that 7 miles of plastic?
Oh, the plastic island?
The plastic island in the Pacific Ocean. I don't know. It just seems like a better use of money.
That's the thing. Like, just bury it under
land?
Valencia? I mean,
recycle it? I don't know. There's probably
most
some
of that
food
shit you can't
in
recycle.
It. I think there's plastic there, isn't there? Can't you get?
Dude, I don't even know what they're making shit out of anymore. Like, I don't even know what these chemicals are that we're putting all over ourselves, but everybody is dying of cancer. Have you noticed that?
Is
that
have
in your friend
that.
Circle too?
Yeah, my friend circle. But that's also turning 40.
Well, is that what it is?
Because I'm 50, and people are dropping like fucking flies. And cancer. You're like, cancer and everything. Just, you're just like, oh, are people dying now? Like, I went to my chiropractor yesterday, and there's a very irritating nutrition guy who is always trying to sell me nutrition.
As they are.
And I walked in, and I was like, hey, where's Chatty Magoo? And he died 2 weeks ago. And I was like,
oh, no.
Who's an asshat? Cation, Jackie Cation. And so I had to.
So Chatty Magoo died?
Chatty Magoo passed away, Gary.
Oh, my God. And you see, that proves nutrition does nothing.
Vitamins doesn't do anything.
It's what I've always suspected. And it's all a lie.
It's all a lie. So knock yourselves out. Get yourself a little bit of ice cream. And get you know what? I forgot to put out the dark chocolate. I have some dark chocolate.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that pills are bullshit. The vitamins and stuff. It's a huge industry. No one can tell what's even in these things. I'm still mad at Dr. Oz about, because I'm the same as you, like with diet pills. I'm like, maybe this is it. And my mother is always telling me like, well, I heard of a new thing, Ronnie. Dr. Oz swears by it. I'm like, Dr. Oz is a lie, okay?
Dr. Oz, I think, is a giant charlatan, isn't he?
He's just such a liar. And I think he just won an Emmy for best, I was like, F in Hollywood.
He should get an Emmy for most popular, for sure. But for any sort of best anything, nothing.
He sold me raspberry ketone pills. I believed in those.
What are those?
They're little things that come in raspberries, I guess. A ketone from a raspberry. I don't know what the fuck. It's like a little pill.
Raspberry and then juice, and they've squoze it into a pill?
They're like little pink pills, and you take them, and supposedly they make you,
they give
you
the joy of raspberries?
Well, you get raspberry burp. But that's it. Like, when you burp, you kind of taste raspberry.
Oh, okay. That's not enough. That's
delicious,
not enough
burping.
For $18 for a bottle of vitamins or whatever the hell it is. It's, there's, I remember I was watching 2 weeks' notice, the dialogue, the director's commentary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was.
That's so cute. I can imagine you just curled up. You're like, you know what? I'm watching the director's comment. That's it.
It is one of my favorite movies in the world.
Which
of dumb
one is
movies.
That?
That's the one with Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
And written and directed.
I must have seen that.
The same guy who did the Hugh Grant music and lyrics. It's the same guy who wrote and directed that.
Oh, did
Two
I see that?
2 weeks' notice.
Who is that about, music and lyrics?
That was with Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant. And then the last one was with Sarah Jessica
Parker. All those
Parker
people, but
and Hugh Grant.
Recently, the romantic movies just infuriate me because they're all the same thing. It's like they fall in love with some, and then there's the twist.
Wait a minute. You just noticed that?
I'm dumb. Like, seriously. When I go to Blockbusters, I'm like, wait a second. I think I saw this.
Blockbuster. And
speaking of, remember Blockbuster?
When I get my VHS tapes out and I say to myself, where is my Buns of Steel tape? I know that it's there.
I still have 8-minute abs. Okay, I'm so sorry for interrupting you. I want to know about 2 weeks' notice.
But 2 weeks, but they were just, there was a crack. It was Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock did the voice. It's one of the greatest director's commentaries I've ever heard, quite honestly, because it's the three of them. And at one of the initial scenes is Hugh Grant speaking supposedly at some sort of event. And I think it was the director or Sandra Bullock says, hey, do we want to point out how many women Hugh Grant slept with here or hit on? What do we want to do here? And then Hugh Grant's like, I'm right here. But later he makes fun of Sandra Bullock having an on-set acupuncturist. And
what?
Yeah. And she said, you know, that would carry more weight if you didn't go to them. Every time I tried to go to them, you were there. You were always using them, using their skills, their mad skills. So, I mean, that's the greatest thing about Los Angeles is that we do make up jobs, and the jobs we make up are mostly about encouraging the rest of us self-care. It's just encouraging us. Well, you're working so hard. It's just so hard to be you.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to freeze your fat and massage you and walk your dog.
I mean, freezing the fat. I don't even know what anybody looks like anymore because we've had so many faces. I mean, well, I haven't. I've still got the original, but I'm telling you, it's only because I'm poor. I would have like 5 faces by now.
Would you get plastic surgery if you had the money?
I think it looks terrible on men. I don't think that there has been a man who's, well, maybe a couple. Robert Downey Jr. seems to have a good one. Like, he has these wrinkly ears. If you look at his ears in close-up, you can count the rings of the wrinkles. So I'm guessing he has.
Is that how old he is?
Young housewives, like, count the rings of the necks because they can do the face, but they can't do the necks, really. They haven't figured that out. So you can sometimes with the housewives count the necks because they're skinless and then they have, like, stronger lines on their neck. So I treat them like trees.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I, like, try and count them, like, how old they are.
Yeah, yeah.
But Robert Downey Jr. has some on his ears. He had four on his ears. I don't know what that means. I haven't come up with a formula yet.
But he's supposed to have four children. It's like palm reading. So the weird thing is, did you see the new Captain America Civil War? Yet?
No.
There's a scene in the beginning where it's a hologram simulation. It's a new tech that he's trying to sell or mm-hmm. whatever. And it has a hologram of Robert Downey Jr. as an 18-year-old. And so it is spooky looking, but it just looks like a really good video game.
It's like doing a line off the little hologram is like doing lines with hookers. Like, whoa, wait, let's not go back that far. Come on.
Right, right.
Back.
Well, I mean, if it would have been realistic. And it, he does make a joke about that, which is funny. But the crazy thing is like the Bravo thing, it does seem to be a lot about, you know, it's navel gazing, right? I mean, it's a lot of looking into, like, what are the shows that are currently on Bravo?
Besides Housewives?
Yeah, besides Housewives. And then Chopped.
Well, the Housewives... Okay, so Bravo's doing this weird thing because they can't figure out how to replicate Housewives. But it's the only thing people really watch a lot of.
Okay.
And Housewives starts out because, yeah, they're rich and you just want to see their lives. But it moves into things that you get more into because there's an alcoholic sister or people end up killing themselves. Or, you know, there's shit that really happens. And yeah, so you end up horrible. Having to kind of relate it. And then people go online and fight each other because they're taking
Team
everything
Meghan
so personally.
Or Team Jen.
Yes.
Okay.
They'll be like, well, my sister's an alcoholic and I don't appreciate how she dealt. You know, so
oh, wow.
They all take it personally.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're trying to replicate it. But the other, like, rich shows don't really work. Now what's
what
kind
of
working.
What are the other rich shows? Like, what shows? Is
think what
Chopped
tried
still
to do.
On Bravo?
No, Chopped is Food Network.
Okay. And then?
Top Chef is still on.
Top
but
Chef
Top Chef is a working class show. I mean, those are poor people. Chefs are poor.
Yeah,
generally.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
but
that's
it's kind of fascinating.
Class. Oh, it's a great show. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because they you learn how to.
They're actually talented.
They're actually like, talented. Wow. And they give them, like, weird, like, whenever I see reality shows, you're like, well, give them a task that is in their genre or in their wheelhouse, but out of their wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, well, you work a lot with fish. Please dissect this lamb, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever. I mean, they try to take them out of their comfort zone.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you only deal with, you're a personal chef. You have to do this wedding.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And they never do that with other reality shows. That's what I really liked about Top Chef.
Yeah, they've tried. And that's the formula for Project Runway. So Top Chef was a runoff of that. And then Bravo's tried to do a bunch of them since then. They had one called Platinum Hit. Yeah,
oh,
I think it was Platinum Hit.
Right. They did like a music one.
And it was like Top Chef, but with music writers, songwriters.
And models? Did they do one with models?
They did one with models. It was, I forgot
America's
what it was called.
America's Top Model? Was that
no, that one's still, that's crazy Tyra Banks. That's in like 100 countries still. It's like, bring me your young idiot teenagers and let me ruin their lives.
let me see what their calves look like.
But they did have Stupid. One like that. It was like, I don't know, Tyson Beckford trying to make a model out of, I don't know. I can't with the model shows. Congratulations on being pretty. Bye.
Right.
I'm never going to fit into the clothes you're selling me in the first place.
Right.
Get out of here with your
Please read a
facial.
Book. Read yeah. a book. That's from the tick. So
read a book.
Read a book. And so what are so I'm I keep interrupting
oh,
what you
poor people
what you
shows.
Like.
No, because I'm an ADD person, so I'd never remember what I was talking
and
about.
And I weed off all almost immediately. So
I'll be like, la la la, malls. What do you think of malls? So working class shows. So now they have one called Below Deck that's about people who work on a boat, on yachts.
Oh.
And they're like the poor people on, you know, they're like the waiters and stuff who work on the yachts.
Oh, interesting.
And then they have Vanderpump Rules, which is a spinoff of Lisa Vanderpump. They spun off one of her shows because she owns restaurants. She's from Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And she has these restaurants, and it's all about the waiters and stuff in the restaurants fighting and boning. being disgusting.
Okay. Oh, so it's essentially just a little soap opera about a realistic soap opera about people who work in restaurants.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Which makes it very specific. Like, that's very different from the Applebee's in El Paso that I first worked at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, the thing is,
you don't want to have sex with any of us.
Right. Right. It's just like the busboy has a crush on the lady who seats people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you're just like, oh, you're never going to get her. She's out of your league, bro.
Yeah.
And it's too bad, but
that's this, but they all get each other. Like, whatever STDs one test positive for, they've all got, because they all have sex and they all still have to work at the restaurant, which is hilarious because over the years they become, I mean, once you're on TV, they become famous in that weird way.
Yeah.
But they're famous, but they still don't make that much money, because if they make too much money, they won't come to work. So
right. Well, and how long has that one been on?
That one has had, I think, 4 seasons.
So 4 years of watching these people wait on people. Is mm-hmm. there any good snarky, like, against the patrons?
No, they really don't show them waiting tables all that much. They'll be in the restaurant and they'll be like, okay, you know, chubby girl, hold this tray of salt and peppers during this scene. And this poor girl has to just stand there holding this thing while they're talking about whatever. But
oh, okay.
They don't do a lot with the customers.
That is unfortunate. Because have you done food service?
Oh, yeah. My whole life.
Yes. So I was recently at the Hugo's on Riverside. I think I might have.
Yeah.
I wonder if I've told this story already. Well, Rangers, hear it again. Here we go. Because you know who hasn't heard it? Ronnie Karam. Mm. At Ronnie Karam with a K. And who has TrashTalkTV.com and watch what crappens on iTunes.
I love your little reminders. That's awesome.
Well, people like to know. But my the thing is I have so much. I couldn't wait tables. I wasn't good. I lived in Provincetown, Massachusetts for 3 summers.
Oh, sweet.
And if I was going to be gay, that's where it was going to happen. You guys.
Yeah, totally.
It was going to be a huge reveal.
But that's more of like a gay guy place, right?
Yeah, there. But I think I haven't been there in 20 years, but I worked at a footlong hot dog stand where the dick jokes were, they wrote themselves. But when I first moved there, when I first went there, because a friend of mine, her parents owned a house in Truro. So we all bought a car for $50 in Madison, Wisconsin, and drove across. And then we all lived in like a 2-bedroom apartment stacked like cordwood because we were 20.
Yeah.
And then I worked at, but I tried to, I told them that I knew how to wait tables at this Portuguese restaurant on Main Street, Front Street. And so I worked there for 3 hours. They gave me 3 tables. I ruined all of those people's nights. And then we mutually agreed to fire me.
Yeah.
And but so then I worked at a hot dog stand. But so I have the most sympathy and then I worked at the hot dog stand for 3 years. And I also made pizzas at Geppetto's, the pizza place in Truro. But the people are the crazy. I mean, I want to see that show.
The patrons, yeah, the patrons are terrible. But I have to say, I've been a waiter since I was my first job was at Applebee's. And I was a busboy.
Sure.
And I moved to New York on my 18th birthday. I just got on a Greyhound and went to New York like an idiot.
From El Paso.
Yes, as you do when you're 18. I was like, I'm out of here. Bye, mom. Bye, bitch. You know, I was like getting on the... And I showed up there and, of course, can't do anything. I looked like a little baby. God bless me. I had hair and...
Oh, my God. And then, of course,
lied about waiting tables.
Yes. Began.
I wish, darling. I wish I had that kind of body. I would have been selling my ass for years. I just have never had that kind of body.
I don't think you realized how beautiful you were when you were 18. Look back in those pictures and think to yourself, oh, I probably could have got more action.
I know. I do think, I could have given... You know, I could have had a little blowjob industry going on. I was pretty.
there would have been an industry, but
yeah, just something
but
where you keep ended your up shirt getting. On.
So what you got? You got a job in New York.
I just lied my ass off. I lied and said I'd been a waiter for a zillion years, which I don't know how anybody believed that. I look like a baby.
Right, you were 12 at the time, so you were like, no, I had worked at Applebee's for a year and a half.
Well, I did put that like an idiot, but I said I was a waiter because I thought that would make a huge difference. And basically, you just go from place to place until there's someone so desperate that they don't even call, or someone so lazy that they don't call the references.
Right.
So I would get a job, be awful at it. I remember one,
but
I went up.
Get slightly better at it? Is that what it is?
That's how you learn. Because you can't get a job without being a waiter, and you can't be a waiter, you know. So, yeah, I just slid my way through it.
That's exactly how you would get a job as a waiter.
Still terrible.
Still not great?
Terrible. I'm really good with talking to people because I hate people, but I love people too. Like, I have both. Right. I hate really hard, but I love hard as well. And so I love just talking to all those people and then being able to walk away and be done with it. But their order always wrong. I'll spill shit. I knock shit off tables with my love handles.
There's trouble. There's trouble.
Not good at it.
Not good at it.
So when I watch shows like Vanderpump Rules on Bravo, it's not really the same thing. It's not like someone with a muffin top, like just trying to live the dream while they're struggling. These people are living the dream because they're on TV. And in LA, most of the waiters are just douchey models who don't know what the fuck they're doing anyway.
Right.
And they don't hire good waiters. They hire models. So.
Right. And then now you're being served by a model. It's one of the reasons I can't go to some restaurants. I'm like, no, I want to go to a restaurant where people are waiters for a living.
Yeah.
And like, there's a really nice diner that I go to over on Hazeltine and whatever, Burbank, Nat's Early Bite. There's a place called Magnolia Grill over in Burbank.
Oh, yeah.
Those people, that's what they do for a living, and they're good at it, and I love them for it because I've come out to eat, and I like to order something and then get my food and then overtip.
Yeah, there's like a vacant judgy eye that you get from people.
If I try to go to Jenkins, you can piss off. And the thing is going to Hugo's. So I go to Hugo's on Riverside and Coldwater the other day, and that is a mix. It's a mix of writers and actors and actual waiters. And I don't know which one I got. I think I got an actual waiter because he had the dead eye shark. Because I was trying to make fun of this other table by me with him, and he had just shark eyes because he was like,
model.
"No, I need these $7. I can't make fun of these people with you. I can't make fun of these people with you. I need the $7 that they're going to leave me." Because what happened was, is there was three people, a guy that the other two, there was a guy and two women. The two women referred to the guy as sensei through the entire meal. The woman, there was a younger woman and an older woman. The younger woman said to the older woman and the sensei, "You guys have changed thousands of lives, and I just admire you so much." And that's when I really started listening. And then, because I'm totally on the canal. I'm like, Erie Canal, let's do this. And then the older woman orders a dish with tofu on the side. Horror of horrors, it comes on. Comes on the food.
The tofu. No.
Right. She's already asked if the tofu, how it is prepared and what the soybeans.
Like, I am with the sensei. He has changed lives. Please rethink this tofu placement.
Right. So she, the kid who delivers it is not the waiter, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the kid who delivers it says, because they're slightly behind me so I can't see them, which is one of my great regrets. And the kid behind him is like, "So is everything okay? Do you need anything else?" And the woman, there's this pause that sounds like sadness. And then she sighs. And she goes, "Well, I actually ordered the tofu on the side." And you can almost hear him reaching for the plate to go fix it.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, no, it'll be fine. But would you do me a favor and tell the waiter that this happened?
Oh,
because I know he'd want to know. And
so he can go spank himself in the back.
Right, because I know he wrote it down. So they go away. The waiter comes like 5 or 10 minutes later to check on them. And he's clearly been told. But I'm like, I bet she's going to tell him again. I bet she'll let him in on it anyway. And she did. And she said, and then my favorite line was, she goes, "What do you think happened?" I genuinely almost turned around and screamed at her, "Human error." Have
no
you
kidding.
Heard of human error?
Like, Hector is in the back cutting the tofu, and shockingly, he does not give a fuck about you, lady.
Right.
Okay?
And occasionally, out of the thousands of meals he's making today, he might put the tofu on top, you dumb idiot. And so I didn't. And so the guy comes, and she said, "Can you ask them what happened?" And he comes back, and he goes, "You know," and the snarkiest he got, this waiter, was he said, "Because of what you've gone through, we'd like to offer you a free dessert." And then they turned that into a $20 vegan, like, amazing ice cream, gluten-free brownie thing that was, I was like,
"Can I have the crust on the side?" Bitch would still do that, I'm telling you. People like that are a pain in the ass always. And it really shows you how to deal with assholes. I think I could deal with anybody because there are people like that. I used to work at a Moroccan restaurant, okay? Everything in Morocco. In Moroccan food is served with couscous, which is semolina flour and whatever.
Okay.
Is this gluten-free? I want gluten-free couscous. And this is years ago before that became this huge thing. It was like when it was just starting.
Right.
And the Moroccan chef would be like, "Fuck him. Tell him it's gluten-free, stupid." And he would serve all these people who claimed to be dying of something. He would just serve them the couscous and they were fine.
I worked at a Chinese restaurant in Minneapolis once. And at the end of the year, I learned how to, I was like, "Teach me how to make, fried rice to Mr. Mui. And Mr. Mui, he was like, okay, well, you pour oil in the wok and you heat it up and then you put in the meat and then you do that and then you put in the vegetables or what, I mean, whatever. He's like the rice and whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, and then you take the spices and you put it in. I was like, so what's in the spices? What's in that? And he's like, well, it's a mixture. It's salt, it's MSG, and it's a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, wait, MSG is in it? What about the people who ask for no MSG who come to the front and they're like, I need no MSG because I could die if I eat MSG. And he goes, I put in less. And I was like, what? No, they say they're going to die. And he said, has anyone died? No one has died. Don't worry about it. And
no one dies. Miraculously, nobody dies.
Or we don't hear. We hear nothing.
Or they die at home. That's true. Die at home. Like when they order decaf coffee, we used to have a busboy who was like, fuck that. It's late. It's like the last round. I'm not making decaf for them. They can drink regular. And he would pour regular. And usually you don't hear anything, but a couple of times people would come in the next day or call and be like, I know I was served decaf. I did not sleep all night. And now that I'm getting older, I get that because you have more of a sensitivity to it.
Right.
You
know, but
I was like, sorry, I probably gave people heart
don't
attacks.
Don't order coffee at night unless you're willing to drink coffee. How about that?
If you're on a special diet, stay the fuck at home. That's the best advice. No one cares about you or your stupid diet.
The last 2 weeks, I've been on this crazy no grains, no sugar, no...
That's rough going.
Some dairy. And so every single time the waiter has come to the table, I've had to say, hi, I'm a caricature of what is happening in society. And I have to ask you, are those eggs in butter or are they in oil? And they're like, what? Sometimes they don't know. They're like, I'm not fucking making them. They're in bacon grease.
And I love an honest waiter though, because they'll just tell you the truth.
Right? They're like, I don't know. Do you want me to go ask? And I'm like, just give me the eggs. Give me the eggs. I'm going to eat here anyway.
LA really makes you hate people. Because that is an LA way.
It like, really can.
Okay, I would love this lamb. Let's just pretend it's just a lamb chop. That's it. Can I have the lamb chop? What kind of crust is on there? Well, can I have it with pepper? Do you have pink Himalayan salt? Do you have this? No.
That pink Himalayan salt. Did you know? Do you know Solomon Giorgio?
Huh.
Have you ever heard? He is his joke is Solomon Giorgio. Everyone should go check out his stand-up comedy. Great set on Conan. His joke on Conan is, of course, I am a tall, beautiful black man, so obviously I am gay and a waiter. so his mom he immigrated when he was 12 with his mom from they're Ethiopian, but I think came from some horrible place in the Sudan where they had been housed. And so he said, sometimes when I'm serving people and they say, do you have any Himalayan pink sea salt? I want to say, you know, my mom told me she had to eat their cat when she was 9.
But, yes, exactly.
But instead I say, of course we have Himalayan pink sea salt.
Yes. God, people, we are such lemmings. It's so crazy. That pink Himalayan sea salt is effing everywhere. We saw it on a housewife show. Well, it was the Ladies of London, it's called. And this stuck-up woman who's royalty.
Is she
I'm really? Royalty in the Deutschland.
In the Deutschland, she's
pink
royalty.
Pink Himalayan sea salt, one of the most important ingredients in life. And we just make fun of her. Like, we still talk about it. And then, boom, it's everywhere. And every celebrity has their pink Himalayan sea salt on their Instagram.
It's at Trader Joe's. Like, somebody brought me some.
What is it? Like, who cares? What does it do?
It's salt. And I don't understand if it was on the Himalayan top roof, if it's in the Himalayan mountains, are you saying it's like thousands of years old and you're chipping away at it and then hauling it down the mountain so that some seriously wealthy
people
rich,
are liars.
Yeah, maybe they're just dying flake salt, which is what they might be doing, and I hope they're doing that. I don't know.
It's like that, what's that bottled water? Like Crystal Geyser, Crystal Geyser. Crystal Geyser, sorry.
I wanted to be Crystal Geyser.
What is it, empty now? Like, how long have you guys been taking water out of there?
I have to say this. When Mark Price was on the program, I learned the difference between bottled waters. Bottled waters that say spring water come from a spring. Bottled waters that say just don't, that's just purified tap water.
Yeah,
that's
purified
all it is.
Tap. That's the Aquafina, like the
Aquafina
Coca-Cola version.
And Dasani or whatever. It's it's not.
Yeah, like
spring.
The 7-Eleven special bottle of water. It's like 59 cents, but then the plastic is made out of cancer.
Exactly. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, now they're selling special plastic that doesn't give you cancer. Like, really? I have to pay more for the plastic that doesn't give me cancer?
Oh, that's right. Because you want your baby sippy cup not to be made out of cancer. Cancer plastic.
Oh my God, don't get me started
that.
On babies. I have friends who just had babies.
Oh, you have new babies?
You cannot
friends?
Do shit, okay? It's not even don't drink, don't smoke, okay? I mean, my mom did, and I'm a mess, so I get it. But You can't even be around someone who has smoked because the secondhand smoke smell on their clothes can kill the baby. I don't know. You can't eat salmon. You can't do anything. What's the point?
I don't know. I've lost the thread of what your dorkdom is, but I do like it. It's Bravo kind of shows. Snark. It's snark. And
it's like making fun of shit.
It's just nice. And, well, and the thing is, one of my favorite people is a guy named Augie Smith.
Uh-huh.
And he has a baby that is 2 years old that I accidentally picked up yesterday and my shoulder is killing me, which is why I keep stretching, forgetting that I am 100. And so I picked this baby up and he's a good baby, but whatever. When he was born, 4 days later, Augie and Julie Smith, I get a text from Augie saying, "Hey, we're going to the coffee shop. You want to meet us with the baby?" And I said, "You're taking your baby, a 4 day old baby, to the coffee shop?" And he goes, "Yeah, he's not sick. He's just a baby." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll go look at a baby out in public that's 4 days old." Yeah. And so I held that baby when it was 4 days old. I also have a hard and fast rule with babies. I will not hold your baby under the age of 3 months while I'm standing.
That's smart.
I will be seated. Hand me your baby. But that baby, Porter, young Porter Smith, was like 2 months old. And Julie had him and he was crying and Julie was like, "Will you walk around with him?" And I was like, "Sure." And I had held the baby so much that I didn't remember that he was under 3 months old. So I came back after walking him around and I was like, "This baby is not 3 months old." And she goes, "No, he's not 3 months." And I said, "Hard, fast rule." And I handed it off.
Broke my rule. Broke the baby rule.
But I didn't kill the baby. So it's always, I mean, that's my biggest fear with babies is that I don't know that I'm going to spike it like a football or I'm going to freak out. Or
I'm very clumsy.
I'm super clumsy. I don't feel safe.
Well, they say that babies have angels because babies should just always be dead. Like if you look at what babies do, they walk around like little idiots. There's always sharp corners here and there that they should have stabbed their soft spot in.
Right.
You know, they should be bleeding and dead. But you'll see one and it'll come right up to the corner of the table and just somehow miss it.
Right.
And they'll swing right by that corner.
And you're like,
it's like a little baby angels, you know, because humans are idiots. How was there, I get that the Bible says there was Adam and Eve, but they had to be babies, right? God wouldn't just make adults. And then
he made adults according to the legend.
Well, we'd never make it otherwise, because how would a little baby even make it on its own? They can't do shit, those little losers.
Right. Get a job. Walk it off.
Get a job. Read a book.
Read a book, baby.
Read a book, baby.
Okay, what are your favorite Bravos coming up? We're almost at an hour.
Oh, we are? Oh, yes. Yeah, I can go forever.
Okay.
We are on Bravo right now. We're covering Real Housewives in New York City.
New York?
New York.
Where do they live
in New
York? Up
east
side?
It's the best one.
Mostly
Upper East. Some are in the Hamptons. And then there's always like one who lives downtown. Like this one's trying to be hip. She's dating a young man.
Is she 100? Are they all like 50?
I talk about her like she's the crypt keeper, but she's really not. They're usually in their 50s,
okay.
Like late 40s or 50s, and then they put in like one 35-year-old just to piss everybody off, you know? Because they always take everything so seriously, and all the older ladies hate the younger one. They always hate the young, pretty one, you know?
Like I remember 15 years ago, 20 years ago when I didn't have to really put it together or some whatever. You know, that's the whole thing about being super pretty is that when you age, you can get mad.
Yeah.
You start getting mad because you're not as pretty as you were and you spend more time looking in the mirror trying to fix
shit. You're like the queen from Snow White. Like that's what happens to people in this town. And it's that's why these housewife shows are so good, because most of these women are women who have banked on men's money. And basically married
for
money.
For their looks.
You know, because that was like the last generation that was raised like that. Like you get married to a man who can take care of you.
Right.
You know?
And then they leave you when you're 50 and get a new one.
And it's normal.
And you leave with half of their worldly goods and then you start over.
And then prenups ruined everything. Those prenups, I mean, these poor women, they come on it so rich. Then they get divorced because their husbands are like, "You're a jackass." Mm-hmm. Now everyone thinks I'm a jackass because I'm on TV acting like a jackass. Fuck this. I'm out of here. I'm divorcing you. And then they have prenups. And so these women actually have to use these shows for money, which that's not why they do them. They do them for fame, but you don't get that much money to do them.
Right.
So then they start coming out with these weird little products.
Oh, they have to write books and go on like QVC or
something. The books are the least offensive, believe it or not, because at least you can laugh at those. I mean, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
But their products, oh my God, a lot of them have makeups, and the most famous are alcohol products. Bethany Frankel has like a huge skinny girl line.
Skinny girl of booze line?
Uh-huh.
How can you drink and still be skinny?
She's stupid. You can't. Okay. It's like a skinny margarita. They put less alcohol, I heard, so that gives it less calories, but...
Wait.
Don't you have to drink two? It's like regular diet food.
Right, right. Then you have to drink two. I don't think that they've ever had a diet with alcohol, the fermenting process. I wonder, you know, there was a really great old Doris Day Rock Hudson movie where Lover Come Back. Mm-hmm. And the product was Vip. And Vip was made,
Vip, Vim, and Verve.
It was
Zing,
a.
Zip, and Ginger.
It was a cookie that had the chemical compound of two martinis.
Whoa.
So if you ate one, it was like you drank two martinis.
Oh my God. I would love that.
That's what the scientist said. Well, here, I finally made what America's always wanted, a 10 cent drunk.
Yeah.
Because each one would be like 10 cents and they are. And so
I would do that.
See Lover Come Back, my friend. It is one of the crappiest, greatest movies in the world. And there's, you know, of course, the Hays Code. They have to get married at the end. But the thing is because they eat all of the candy and everybody's shit faced. And it's a very funny.
And now
spoiler
candy.
Alert, you guys, 1955.
Yeah.
So
well, it kind of happened in a way. It's not martinis, but now they have those weed cookies and stuff.
Oh, right.
And if you go to a party and someone gives you one of those, they can kick your ass.
You don't know what the THC level is, right?
You can tell if you buy them in the store, like when you buy them in the stores or whatever.
At the pot store, they'll tell you what the strength is.
Oh, yeah. Set up in there. It looks like a candy store, and then they have little labels with how much. But if you go to a party and someone just says, here's a cookie, you don't know how strong that's going to be. And some of those they will kick your ass.
I was in Washington State where it is legal, and every night somebody brought a Rice Krispie treat that was laced with the marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you have 7 to 9 minutes to talk to me after I've smoked or done any sort of marijuana. I fall asleep. So all I could think was, who's ruined a perfectly good Rice Krispie treat with pot? Are there regular Rice Krispie treats? Because I would like a regular Rice Krispie treat.
That's also the worst party thing ever. It doesn't make anybody more fun. Like, weed just makes people like, ooh. It's like, welcome to Awakenings, you know? Like, the second hour of my party, everybody's back in a coma, you know?
Everybody's in their own corner thinking. Stop thinking. Anyway, so everybody, this has been quite the snarkiest. I've had a lovely time.
It was so nice meeting you.
It was really fun meeting you and bitching about the weird Bravo shows and the crazy world of reality television. At Ronnie Karam, Karam, and Watch What Crappens is his podcast where you can get more of this glory. And then Trash Talk TV is the written word. So do that, folks. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Rangers, you know the rules. Take care of each other out there. Okay, bye.
Rangers!
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?